There were more and more people gathering in front of the Baroness's residence, but only a fraction of them could be seen. Most of the people were members of Baroness Lashini's sec force, standing guard over the building and waiting for daylight so they could move through the Ville and get rid of what was left of the previous Baron's sec force. There were muties moving into the area as well. They had had their fill of Fang and were far less tenacious than they'd been no more than an hour before, but they were still interested in taking whatever they could get, control of the Ville if possible, or if not that, then Jack and as much drugs as they could carry. A few people hidden in the shadows were former Sekmen of Baron Demand, who had served under Sec Chief Robards. The Sekmen had split into two groups, the ones who had hated Robards' guts and would have run him through with a steak knife if they thought they could get away with it, and the ones who liked Robards enough to wonder where he'd gone and what he might be planning to take back the Ville. And finally, there were citizens, many of whom had helped put out the fire in front of the Baroness's residence earlier in the evening, and were now hanging around to see who was in charge of the Ville, and to see if they should bother showing up for work in the morning. Viviani arrived in front of the Baroness's residence, out of breath after a firefight with the former Baron's sec force a few blocks away.
Where's Baroness Lashini?
She hasn't come down yet.
Why didn't you go up and get her?
Sorry, sir, but I'd rather not be the one to wake up that woman.
The sec chief nodded, understanding. He was about to enter the building to wake her up and bring her down when blaster fire erupted on the other side of the street. Sec Chief Viviani dove for cover.
Do you have the medicine for Jack?
We were successful.
Excellent.
Run into any trouble down there?
Just a few people trying to loot the place.
Yeah, but they weren't a problem.
For a moment, the two men looked at each other, and then Ryan turned away.
Let's get out of here. Does Axe here think we can go the same way we came?
I believe so, but we will need to be careful. I expect more Sekmen to be out on the streets.
Keep an eye out. Triple alert until we're out of the Ville.
They began to move, double time, Azaxir leading the way.
Doc?
You need not worry about me, Ryan. I have been scanning the darkness for a sign of Eleander, but so far the gods have not seen fit to give her up to me.
Doc?
Yes, Ryan?
Don't let your search slow you down.
Mine eyes are as sharp as if they were coupled to the wings of an eagle, and that may give you some insight into how swiftly I will move when the need arises.
That's great, Doc. That's great.
Inside the steel box, Robards felt the chill of the night against his skin. His wrists ached as the steel dug into his flesh. His muscles burned as they had flexed and contracted long past the point of exhaustion, so that he could no longer use them to try and make himself comfortable. His joints cracked and popped, moving slightly an inch to the left or right, after hours in the same awkward position. His bladder filled and emptied, the contents of it dribbling down his leg. His stomach panged with hunger. And he burned with thoughts of revenge and of taking back the Ville, the one he'd worked so hard to prepare for the day that he would make it his own. But for now, he was stuck, chained in a steel box, waiting for someone to remember where he was, who he had been, and then come to rescue him from this hell. No one was coming. It was as if he'd been forgotten. There was a storm brewing just outside the box. He could hear it and feel it in the air. Something big was going to be happening very soon. Really big. His only consolation was that it would all be going on out there, and he'd be safe inside the box. Islier, the eldest son of Azaxir, arrived an hour behind the rest of his six other brothers and sisters, a bow and arrow in his hand, and a bazooka slung on his back.
Are they back yet, Dari?
Not yet.
Dari herself held a crossbow and quiver, and also a few poison-tipped spears on a strap on her back.
What took you so long? And what's that on your back?
I had to make a new fin for the projectile for this gun. I got the shape of it right, but the weight is probably off, so this one should only be used at close range or at a really big target.
Can I fire it?
Absolutely not. You know how Father feels about these human weapons.
It's not the way you feel, though.
Be quiet.
His sister was too smart for her own good. He climbed to the top of a metal wall at the point where his father and their guests had entered the Ville and began getting the M1 ready to be fired once they returned. Despite what Azaxir might think, Islier was hoping that this weapon would work. He had been one of the family members who had become an addict. After just a few weeks, he'd been hooked and had almost died when his father found him and dragged him home. His mother, when she was still alive, had cared for him day and night for 6 weeks, until he was able to sleep through the night without screaming for drugs. When he came out of the drug-induced haze, he thought only a few weeks had passed him by, and had been shocked to hear that he'd been out of it for more than 2 months, and all because of the Ville and the drugs that made it run. Well, he wouldn't mind settling a score with the Ville, and a rocket into the Baron's residence seemed as good a way as any. He just wished his father would let him fire that rocket. Baroness Lashini appeared in the doorway of the Baroness's mansion, standing behind the large glass pane that was slightly clouded by the fire from the night before. The sky was tinted with a light reddish-orange hue, and she was reminded of an old saying her father used to tell her some nights before she went to sleep. He'd say, "Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky at morning, sailor take warning." Her father hadn't been a sailor, but he had been on a boat in the ocean once. And the saying never meant much to her, since the sky was always one shade of red or another. But now, looking out over the deep, almost purplish red, she had an uneasy feeling about her, as if the shit was going to hit the turbine. The pane of glass in front of her suddenly shattered. Shards of glass rained down around her as the glass fell away from its frame. The Baroness jumped aside as 6 more rounds zipped through the empty space the window had been occupying. She took her snub-nosed .38 Browning from its holster.
Viviani!
There was no answer over the shots that were coming from across the street. The Baroness crawled over the glass covering the floor, tearing her clothes and cutting her skin. She needed to get outside, behind the barricade set up by her SecMen. Suddenly, a roar of fire erupted from somewhere just in front of her, and then there were hands on her arms, lifting her up and guiding her down to the street in front of the residence.
What the fuck is going on here?
There's been resistance to our taking over the Ville.
I told you to wipe out Robard's sec force.
We must have killed more than a dozen of the old sec men, and another 6 have joined us.
Then who's left?
Can't be more than another 5 or 6.
That's all? And you're having trouble with that?
And the people living in the Ville, and muties and addicts looking for drugs. A bunch of them swept through the Ville last night, took 4 of our men with them, and stole a month's worth of Jolt and Dream from dealers on the east side.
So which are the ones shooting at us?
All of them. Baron's residence is the only thing worth having right now, so they all want a piece of it.
Well, fuck them all. It's mine now.
She rose and began firing her Browning fearlessly at the shapes and shadows across the street. When her fire was returned, she ducked back down, a lot of her strength and resolve suddenly gone.
Give Sherman and Roy as much extra ammo as they can carry and send them up to the roof of this building. Tell them to take out everyone without a family seal on their arm. If there's anyone friendly you'd like to see live, give them an armband.
Viviani nodded to one of his lieutenants, who had passed the word along to Sherman and Roy.
And you head down that street and double back and get ready to take down anyone who runs from Sherman and Roy's fire.
Yes, Baroness.
This afternoon, I want to drive around this Ville in a show of strength. And when that's over with, we'll chill that family we were talking about. That should quiet things down.
Or incite more people to violence, Viviani thought. You had to have strength and control before you could demonstrate it, and an iron fist wasn't always the best tactic.
You hear me?
Yes, Baroness.
Then he headed off to carry out her order.